Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Text 8. Maitreya Vacha Sa Raja Rajena Varaya Chodita Dhruva Maha Bhagavato Maha Mati Hara Sa Vavre Chalita Smriti Yaya Tarati Ayaknena Duratyayam Tama Maitre Ruvacha. So Raja Rajena Varaya Chodita Dhruva Maha Bhagavato Mahamati Harasava Vre Chalitam Smritim Yaya Taratya Yatnena Duratya Yam Tama. Maitreya Ravacha. The great sage Maitreya said, Sa he Raja Rajena, by the King of Kings, Kuvera, Varaya, for a benediction, Chodita, being asked, Dhruva, Dhruva Maharaj, Mahabhagavata, the first class pure devotee, Mahamati, most intelligent or thoughtful, Hara, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sahi, Vavre, ask, Achalitam, unflinching, Smritim, remembrance, Yaya, by which, Tarati, crosses over, Ayatnena, without difficulty, Duratyaya, unsurpassable, Tama, nescience. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, when thus asked to accept a benediction from Kuvera, the Yaksharaj, king of the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj, that most elevated pure devotee, who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus, a person can cross over the ocean of nescience very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the opinion of expert followers of Vedic rites, there are different types of benedictions in terms of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. These four principles are known as Chatur Vargas. Of all the Chatur Vargas, the benediction of liberation is considered to be the highest in this material world. To be enabled to cross over material nescience is known as the highest Purushartha, or benediction for the human being. But Dhruva Maharaj wanted a benediction which surpasses even the highest Purushartha, liberation. He wanted the benediction that he might constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. This stage of life is called Panchama Purushartha. When a devotee comes to the platform of Panchama Purushartha, simply engaging in devotional service to the Lord, the fourth Purushartha, liberation, becomes very insignificant in his eyes. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has stated in this connection that for a devotee, liberation is a hellish condition of life. As for sense gratification, which is available in the heavenly planets, the devotee considers it to be a will-o'-the-wisp, having no value in life. Yogis endeavor to control the senses, but for a devotee, controlling the senses is no difficulty at all. The senses are compared to serpents, but for a devotee, the serpent's poisoned teeth are broken. Thus, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has analyzed all kinds of benedictions available in this world, and he has clearly declared that for a pure devotee, they are all of no significance. Dhruva Maharaj was also a Mahabhagavat, or a first-class pure devotee, and his intelligence was very great, Mahamati. Unless one is very intelligent, one cannot take to devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Naturally, anyone who is a first-class devotee must be a first-class intelligent person, and therefore not interested in any kind of benediction within this material world. Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the King of the Kings. Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, whose only business is to supply immense riches to persons within this material world, is described as the King of Kings because, unless one is blessed by Kuvera, one cannot become a king. The King of Kings personally offered Dhruva Maharaj any amount of riches, but he declined to accept them. He is described, therefore, Shishi Radharadana Ki. He is described, therefore, as Mahamati, very thoughtful, or highly intellectual. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, when thus asked to accept a benediction from Kuvera, the Yaksharaj, king of the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj, that most elevated pure devotee, who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus, a person can cross over the ocean of nescience very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross." Om Jnana Tumarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadam Tikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyas Chai Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pavanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dhruva Maharaj has had sufficient opportunity to accept benedictions of any type. Initially, Narada Muni gave him the benediction that if you practice these certain types of disciplines, very rigorous disciplines, and simultaneously fix your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then your material desires will all be fulfilled. Dhruva Maharaj, we all know very well, he was very much desirous materially. He fits into the category described in Srimad Bhagavatam as Sarva Kama. Akama, Sarva Kama Va, Moksha Kama, Udharati, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta Purusham Haram. That people are desiring different things. So whatever you may desire, if you may have no material desire, or spiritual desire only, if you're in that category, or like Dhruva Maharaj, Sarvakama, you're desiring everything. Or if you're desiring liberation, then what should you do? If you're really intelligent, then you'll understand that the best way, the easiest way, most effective way of having your desires fulfilled is Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Simply engage in devotional service. Yajeta Purusham Param. And be dedicated to serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Dhruva Maharaj is a very good example of someone who's in the category of Sarvakama. He wanted a kingdom bigger than that even of his grandfather or great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. And of course, Lord Brahma, his kingdom is the whole universe, which has whatever facility one might possibly be able to desire materially or possibly conceive of materially, that is within the universe. So he was desiring a kingdom even bigger than that. So he was certainly Sarvakama, full of material desire and most anxious to fulfill those desires. So Narada Muni gave him that benediction that you just follow these different practices and whatever you're desiring will come your way by the grace of the Lord. And that came to be. Supreme Personality of Godhead became pleased by the very intense endeavors of Dhruva Maharaj. So he personally appeared to him and told him that you just place your request before me. Just place your request and that's all right. Whatever it is, I'll give you that. Of course, we know that by that time, Dhruva Maharaj, because he had actually engaged his mind in remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he had received the touch of the conch shell of the Lord on his head. So all his material desires had been cleansed away, and he was now actually in a mood of devotional service. So in that Krishna conscious mood, he expressed to the Lord that what I was previously thinking was the most wonderful thing, only really desirable thing, some huge opportunity for sense gratification. I thought it was going to be like a great treasure trove of gems, something extremely valuable. But now I see that it was actually a useless thing, just like a pile of broken glass. So he had that opportunity. He could have had whatever he liked, but he requested the Lord for devotional service. However, as time went on, he got caught up in this particular situation, attacking the Yakshas. And now here, the Yaksharaj, Raja Rajena, the King of Kings, greatest king practically in the material world, by whose mercy other kings have some big, opulent and powerful position. So that same Raja Rajena is offering him also that you just take any benediction you like and I'll fulfill that desire. But here again, Dhruva Maharaj, he's showing his nature as a pure devotee of the Lord, very wonderful example, that even though all opportunity is there for material enjoyment, but he's concerned that I don't want to lose my remembrance of the Supreme Lord. Not only do I not want to lose it, but actually he's praying that you please help me to increase that and not lose it, to develop that remembrance and to develop faith in the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and in service to those lotus feet. So here, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, Dhruva Maharaj is setting a very nice example for devotees, showing that a properly situated devotee, Dhruva Maharaj is described here as Mahamati, a very intelligent and thoughtful devotee. He's able to deliberate and consider the different circumstances in any situation in life, evaluate the different factors involved, and then, after very good consideration, come to the right conclusion on the basis of his pure Krishna consciousness. So what a nice example that he is choosing devotional service. He is wanting only devotional service, and he's wanting some assistance. Please give me some mercy so that I can remain in devotional service and increase. My devotional mood can be increased. So all devotees should be trying to follow this type of example. Prabhupada here is describing that generally people in this material world, of course, they're desiring benedictions. Everyone would like some opportunity to fulfill their desires. So generally, though, there are what are called the chatur varagas, four types of desirable things, benedictions: dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. So when people think of progressive life or achieving some good fortune in life, they may think in these terms: let us perform some materialistic religious activity, then as a result of that, some good fortune will come our way, some material opulence, facility for enjoyment, and then with that facility we will enjoy calm, we will then gratify our senses with all those nice facilities. And in many cases it stops there. In so many cases they're chatur varga, but in many cases people are more concerned about tri varga. Let us just enjoy sense gratification. And beyond that, they don't really have so much idea or so much desire that let us become liberated. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna points out, manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye, that out of many thousands among men, people like this, who have some sort of idea of progressing in life, in the material world, out of many thousands of them, a few of them understand about the fourth of these desirable things, liberation. So, having enjoyed, having performed their pious activity, acquired their facilities, enjoyed those facilities, then they've had some realization that despite achieving that sense gratification, which I thought was going to be the most wonderful thing and giving me my full success in life, but despite achieving that, I found I didn't become happy. My desires were not satiated, more desires were coming. So some people, having some realization like that, then they decide that, let me try to become liberated. So then they try to renounce their material facilities, live very simply, and realize Brahman, realize the spiritual nature. So this is chaturvarga, dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. And generally speaking, Prabhupada here is referring to the Vedic rites. The Vedas, there are so many divisions and subdivisions, and in many of these divisions and subdivisions, these chatur varagas are presented as being the goals in life, what people should be striving for. But the devotee has a higher understanding, and Dhruva Maharaj, he's expressing that very nicely. He's got the opportunity here to get any benediction. But he's asking, please give me devotional service. Please give me devotional service. Even Prabodhananda Saraswati, he makes the point that what to speak of these three goals, culminating in sense gratification, but even the goal of liberation, is extremely undesirable to a devotee. Kaivalya Narakayate, that the devotee, the pleasure that the devotee experiences through engaging fully in devotional service is so high that when the devotee then looks back down at the achievements of these other categories of people, including the achievement of liberation, he's looking down and he feels that even this liberation is a complete waste of time. Even worse than that, Kaivalya Narakayate. He thinks this is just like hell. Totally undesirable. So just imagine, we're trying to practice devotional service, trying to advance in devotional service and develop this mood as being shown by Dhruva Maharaj. But just consider how elevated it is his consciousness. How elevated is the consciousness of these great pure devotees of the Lord, that when they think about liberation, what to speak of sense gratification, when they think of liberation, they spontaneously think that this is terrible. I want nothing to do with it. Keep it well away. So this is very advanced. Very advanced. Actually, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in Madhurya Kadambini that there are different types of anathas. For the devotees who are beginning devotional service and trying to make progress, trying to become nicely situated in devotional service, then there are a number of obstacles, anathas, unwanted things, which interfere with the advancement of the devotee. Particularly, he describes four types of anathas. Anathas arising from previous sinful activity, meaning that one will have some inclination towards gross sense gratification, breaking regulative principles and activities of this sort. So certainly this is anatha for the devotee who's trying to make progress in devotional service. Then he refers to anathas which arise from improperly performed devotional service due to lack of knowledge, due to foolishness. The devotee makes some mistake in devotional service, not aware of what to do and what not to do, and therefore the devotee does something wrong. So this is also an obstacle. One should know what to do and what not to do. And one should very carefully do the right things and avoid the wrong things. So that's also anatha. Then there are anathas arising from offenses. If we offend devotees, commit the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy names, then certainly these are obstacles, they'll produce obstacles, they are obstacles themselves. And then fourthly, he refers to anathas which arise from piety, previous piety. Generally, people in the material world think that piety is a very desirable thing for one who's trying to practice spiritual life, for one who's trying to approach God. As the popular saying goes, service to man is service to God, a very popularly held misconception in certain circles. Piety helps their thinking. It may even be the same. It may even be the same as spiritual life. But Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is explaining that piety and the consequences of one's previous piety, these may actually be obstacles. They may produce obstacles in one's devotional service. that one may have some attraction to sense gratification in the mode of goodness, and this may compromise one's mood of being fully dedicated to serving the Lord under any circumstances. And also he says that as a consequence of one's previous piety, one may have some inclination towards liberation. And that may also be an obstacle, that one is trying to render devotional service. But if some difficulty is there, that service is very hard, very challenging, one has to extend oneself, face challenges in order to nicely render one's prescribed duty to the Lord. So one may think, this is too much trouble. I don't want so much difficulty. Let me find some other service which is less difficult. So in this way, this desire for liberation or freedom from difficulty, this can be an obstacle in the devotee's life. So the devotee doesn't appreciate, this idea of liberation even. What to speak of sense gratification? The devotee is always trying to maintain the consciousness that I am the eternal servant of the Lord, and whatever the Supreme Lord and my spiritual master want from me, whatever service they want me to render, that is my life's business. And anything which interferes with that mood, that is anatha, that is unwanted. So liberation can be like that. And it's described that Mukti Devi, the personality of liberation, that she is haunting the devotees sometimes. Mukti Devi, the two of them. Sense gratification and liberation. They may try to haunt the devotee, just like ghosts. In fact, our acharyas explained that of the two, Mukti Devi is more dangerous. This tendency to have some interest in personal liberation, it is actually more dangerous than the tendency simply towards gross sense gratification, material pleasure. Mukti Devi is there, but as we heard day before yesterday, Mukti Devi is waiting at the doorstep of the devotee, knocking on the door, calling out, "Here I am. I'm at your service anytime." But the devotee is thinking, "Thanks, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not interested." Rupa Goswami explains that even though the devotee rejects Mukti Devi and Mukti Devi, both of them, the devotee tells these two deities, "Just go away. You're wasting your time with me. Just go away, find someone else." But because of the good qualities of the devotee, successful devotee, fully engaged in pure devotional service, is manifesting so many wonderful qualities that Mukti Devi and Bhukti Devi, even though they are rejected by the devotee and not welcomed in the presence of the devotee, but still they stay, being attracted by the character of the devotee. That this is such a wonderful person, we want his association. And such an advanced devotee, he's unaffected. So this is a very advanced platform. As the devotee is trying to make progress, then these different things, they try. Mukti Devi, she tries, and Bhukti Devi, we must give them credit. Prabodhananda Saraswati in Chaitanya Chandramrita, he says that when I consider how powerful illusion is and how absolutely dedicated Maya Devi is, but the potency of devotional service is such that not only can the devotee get beyond the clutches of sense gratification and even liberation, but when he looks back at them, he thinks, this is just completely useless. Kaivalya Narakayate, that promise of liberation It's just hellish. And Tridaspur Akash Pushpayate, the promise of sense gratification, it's just like some meaningless hallucination. Flowers in the sky, just like a mirage, no substance. So Dhruva Maharaj, he is expressing this mood here very nicely. We find also this very nice incident in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Previously, he had also been in this liberation business, teaching impersonal philosophy and things like this. And very attached to that study, very attached to that knowledge. But, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he got the right idea that actually devotional service is higher. So he gave up all of his previous activities, cultivating and teaching impersonal knowledge. He gave it all up, very enthusiastically. So one day, in this mood of ecstasy, in appreciation of how wonderful devotional service is, one day he came to Lord Chaitanya and he spoke one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, important verse, but he made some little alteration, expressing this mood of enthusiasm that he had for devotional service as being higher than liberation. Tatenukam ham susamikshamano bhunjani vatma kritam vipakam. That the devotee remains fully engaged in devotional service, even though so many difficulties may come due to his or her previous activities. So many reactions have built up over so many lifetimes. So as the devotee is trying to advance, those reactions may come. So difficulty may be there. But the devotee remains fully engaged in devotional service and simply praying, "My dear Lord, you please just be merciful to me." And then the verse goes on, "Jivaita yo mukti pade chadayavak." That the devotee who continues on in devotional service in the spirit, then jivaita yo mukti pade chadayavak. Krishna, who is mukti pad, his lotus feet give liberation. They are the very resting place of liberation. Lord Krishna, he will give the kingdom of God as the inheritance of the devotee. The kingdom of God will become the rightful inheritance of such a dedicated devotee. So that verse is referring to the Lord as Muktipad, whose feet are the resting place of liberation. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in this newfound spirit of enthusiasm for devotional service as opposed to liberation, he thought that this concept of the Lord as Muktipad is not first class. We could improve it. So therefore he changed it to Jivaita Yo Bhakti Pade Chadayabhak, that the lotus feet of the Lord are the place of devotional service. And the Lord, acting in that capacity, he is giving this mercy to his pure devotee. So he came before Lord Chaitanya and he spoke the verse with this little alteration. So Lord Chaitanya, he immediately noticed that this change has been made, and this verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, so we don't do that. We don't do that. Srimad Bhagavatam is the final word in Shastra, the ultimate evidence, ultimate scripture, the king, as we say, Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam Kida, the king of all scriptures. Or as Srila Jiva Goswami says, the emperor of all evidences. There are many scriptures, and they're like the Vedic scriptures at least. They are the kings of scriptures, and their conclusions, they are the kings of all conclusions, of all evidences. But over a king, over kings, is an emperor. And Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. The emperor of all evidences. So we don't change Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't change Srimad Bhagavatam. So he told Sarvamama Bhattacharya, actually you shouldn't do that. Please don't do that. But just take the verse as it stands and understand that it is Krishna. But don't play. Don't play with the words of scripture. But at the same time, even though he made that correction, mild chastisement to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, still within himself, Lord Chaitanya was appreciating that actually this is a very nice spirit that he has. Previously, he was simply interested in impersonalism, liberation, these ideas. He was teaching that great authority, but now he's thrown it out. And he doesn't like to hear anything to do with it, but only bhakti, only devotional service. So devotional service, as the devotee becomes more and more absorbed in devotional service, then these types of realizations will come. Perhaps for the neophyte devotee, the neophyte devotee may feel somewhat satisfied, if they can remain free from sense gratification. That the opportunity comes, but they think, no. Actually, I shouldn't do that, but let me stay engaged in devotional service. Or some opportunity for liberation comes, but the devotee thinks, no. Let me just continue with my devotional service, despite difficulties. So we may feel satisfied like that at least we're engaged in devotional service and not being deviated. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Dhruva Maharaj, Prabodhananda Saraswati, Kaivalya Narakayate, what to speak of not being attracted, not falling down under the influence of these things. He's thinking, this is simply nonsense. Just like hell. Or as Yamunacharya says, what is the Sanskrit? About spitting. Anyway, the Sanskrit is there. But in effect, he says that when I think about my earlier days and some sense gratification which may have been there, in those days I thought it was very nice. But now when I think about it, I spit at the thought. So, these types of attitudes that liberation is just like hell, completely untouchable. That sense gratification, just spit on it. Without even considering anything else. This is very advanced. Very advanced. But this realization comes as the devotee engages more and more in devotional service. One experiences the sweet taste of devotional service. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, right at the very beginning, it's stated, what is it? Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Palam. Just like here, Dhruva Maharaj is being referred to as Mahamati, or very intelligent and thoughtful devotee, able to deliberate nicely and come to good conclusions on the basis of devotional service. It's also there, it's stated, that you expert and thoughtful men, intelligent people, just try to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Just try to appreciate this great scripture and its message of pure devotional service. And then you'll find that this is the most relishable thing most relishable, most wonderful thing. Nothing else can compare. Kaivalya Nairikayate, Tridas Pur Akash Vushayate. Everything else looks very pale and undesirable in comparison. So here, Dhruva Maharaj, he's expressing his high realization in this regard without a thought choosing devotional service, asking for some mercy. Please help me in my devotional service. So this should be the mood of the devotee, aspiring devotee, every devotee. We should want this. We should at least understand that this is what we should be wanting. And then we should try to get that. And how do we get that? Dhruva Maharaj's example is very nice. He's asking for mercy, praying for mercy. Please, be kind to me. Help me. Devotee understands that I am not independent even in my devotional service. One may become independent of sense gratification and liberation, but that doesn't mean that one is now simply independent on one's own. The devotee understands that I am fully dependent. So in order to achieve this most desirable goal of pure devotional service, undeviating remembrance of the Lord, full faith in his lotus feet and the means of attaining those lotus feet, the devotee is very concerned. Let me somehow get some mercy so I can get this benediction, get some help for achieving this goal. Therefore we find our great acharyas, they're so frequently offering prayers like that, praying for pure devotional service, praying for the means, different aspects of pure devotional service, different means of achieving it. Lord Chaitanya's praying, Na danam na janam na sundaram kavitam na jagadisha kame mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatar bhaktir ahoitiki twai. I don't want anything material, wealth, women, followers, nothing material. All I want is the opportunity to render devotional service. And even going back to Godhead, it doesn't matter. Even janmani janmanishvare, even birth after birth. But let me just have that. Or Narottam Das Thakur, he's praying for that and also for the means. Thandara charana seve, bhakta sanevas, janame janame hoy e avilas. My only desire is to remain in the association of devotees. Just that. That'll be sufficient. Birth after birth. Yamunacharya is praying, I don't know the Sanskrit, but he prays, I don't even want to be a Brahman. I'll be happy just to be an ant in the house of a devotee. Then I'll hear the kirtan, I'll get some crumbs of prasad. In the end, perhaps I'll leave my body being squashed under the lotus feet of one of those devotees. So he's praying like that. Somehow or other, pure devotional service or the means to pure devotional service. Praying to anyone, practically. The gopis are praying to Katyayani, Durga Devi. Normally, we frown on worship of Durga Devi. But the gopis are praying to Durga Devi, Katyayani, please give us a husband. We want a husband. So that husband is Krishna. So they'll pray. Pray like that. Devotee will be very concerned how to get some benediction, how to get some mercy for pure devotional service or the means to that. Srimati Radharani, when Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, of course this is very elevated, esoteric mood of pure devotional service, but she was praying that I can't tolerate the separation from Krishna. So I want to leave my body. So she was praying to Yamaraj, please help me to leave my body. You're the Lord of death. But she was thinking that I've been crying so many tears and separation from Krishna, on and on and on, just like waves. And the waves of my tears, they formed a river, which is even bigger than the Yamuna. And the Yamuna, Yamuna Devi is the sister of Yamaraj. So now, I've offended Yamuna Devi by creating a bigger river. So her brother Yamaraj now is displeased with me. So he won't fulfill my request. So she was praying, Yamaraj, please help me. Just let me leave my body. The separation is too intense. So somehow we must try to cultivate this mood. Our acharyas and Prabhupada has also said that this eagerness, great concern, that I must become more and more engaged, more and more absorbed in devotional service by any means. This eagerness, this enthusiasm to make progress, this is like a great key for success in devotional life. But it's not easy to achieve. Prabhupada referring to Srila Rupa Goswami's statement in that regard. He's holding a little sort of mock conversation. Prabhupada speaking on behalf of Rupa Goswami is saying that just become eager. Just become extremely eager and greedy for getting some mercy to advance. And the person he's speaking to is saying, oh, all right, I'll do that. Easy. But then he replies, no, it's not so easy. Only after many lifetimes. It's not so easy. But try. Try for that. And by some mercy, then gradually that may come. And then advancement will be there. Very easily one can make progress. So Dhruva Maharaj, his mood is like that. Very nice mood. He's given the opportunity for some benediction. So what does he say? Just please help me to remember Krishna and to have faith in his lotus feet. Just please give me that. That'll be very nice. Some comments or questions?
Stotra.
This is what? Intelligent. Just see. Well, I guess perhaps he was praying for some mercy that the other devotee had already prayed and had been given that higher type of consciousness, so he took the opportunity perhaps. But anyway, yes, prasad is... This is one thing. There's so many ways. So we can try and get the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains about the associates of Lord Chaitanya, that it would appear that sometimes they would be playing little games together, touching each other's feet and running around here and there doing like that. This was one of their engagements sometimes. So, because they have that feeling, that mood of enthusiasm to get mercy and become more Krishna conscious in that way. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he would, whenever some prasad would come from some very important deity, of course all deities are important, but some very well-known deity like Jagannath, in Jagannath Puri. So when he would receive, someone would bring some Jagannath Mahaprasad, he would offer full dandavats to the prasad and then circumambulate it three times. And then he would respect it. So that's a very nice mood in that regard. Very nice mood. Of course, here, another thing that reminds me. Another thing, here, Dhruva is praying for that mercy of Krishna consciousness. Rather than liberation, sense gratification, or any other thing, and particularly those two things. So, the devotee, through the devotee's engagement in devotional service, these things may come, because Mukti Devi and Bhukti Devi, they become the servants. Even though the devotee is uninterested and unaffected, but still they remain out of attraction to the devotee. And the devotee reaps the results of those things without having to take the detrimental aspects. But the devotee lives very happily. And the devotee is liberated while engaged in devotional service. Because of the devotional service, these things follow naturally. So there was one story, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the vice rector of the Banaras Hindu University, that means big authority in the world of Hinduism. He came to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once to ask some very sophisticated and complex spiritual or religious type questions, because he was a big Hindu intellectual. So he came, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta looked at his list of questions, and he just wasn't very interested, because they weren't really so much related with devotional service. So he told this man, "You go and ask those devotees over there." And there were some bhaktas, or young brahmacharis, cleaning the deity arti paraphernalia, the brassware, over there. So this man, he was a little surprised, being referred to these young boys doing somewhat menial task for answering his very deep, he thought, very deep questions. But anyway, he went over there and he asked them, "Can you please answer these questions of mine?" And they said, "Well, you know, we're busy right now. But if you'll help us clean this brassware, then we'll finish more quickly and then we can answer your questions." So the vice rector, he sat down and he was cleaning the arti paraphernalia. Then he finished. And so the devotees were waiting for him to ask questions, but he didn't. He got up and he went back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked him, "So, your questions are answered? You asked your questions?" And the man said, "Well, actually I didn't. But you know, while I was doing that service, while I was cleaning that brassware, the answers just came into my mind. And so actually all my questions are answered now." So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he referred to that verse, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabhaved Grahamin Indriyai, Sevan Mukhe Jivado Swayameva Smaratyada, that in our material condition, our senses and that intellect and so on, they cannot really approach the transcendental platform because they're material. But when you engage those things in sevan mukhe hi jivado, in devotional service, then all these things, realization comes. Everything comes. Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayadhyasu Vairagyam, Jnanam Chayada Hoitakam. That through rendering devotional service, then naturally spiritual, or naturally realization comes, knowledge comes, causes. Hare Krishna. Some other comment or question?
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Ask Krishna about devotional service. What kind of devotional service he got? Maybe he was looking for the right.
Who? Dhruva Maharaj.
What did he do?
Oh, he did so many types of devotional service. He was a king, so he was a devotee king. But you're wondering if he did food for life. Da? Oh, I'm sure he did. Of course. I'm sure he wouldn't miss the opportunity of doing that service. And very nice. So carry on. Carry on and on. Yes. The cause of bhakti is bhakti. That a devotee who has bhakti can give bhakti. Because bhakti is there within his heart, through contact with him, the bhakti can be transferred into the heart of the other person, and then they become devotees also. Actually, there's a very interesting thing I just came across in Bhagavad Gita. In the commentary of, it's either Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur or Baladeva Vijayabhushan, that even though we normally understand that Krishna doesn't give bhakti to a person who doesn't have it, he lets his devotee do it. But in one of the commentaries to verse 66 in the 18th chapter, Sarvadharma Paricharya, actually in between that verse and verse 65, Krishna saying, man manabhava madbhakta, and then he says, Sarvadharma Paricharya, just give up everything else and surrender to me. So, according to one of the commentaries, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that, strictly speaking, according to how I have understood you and what you have said during the course of our conversation, you are not exactly qualified for pure devotional service. Not exactly. But now, having spoken to you, my heart is feeling overwhelmed for compassion, or with compassion for you. So therefore I'm going to give you pure bhakti anyway. And he says, this is normally only done by devotees, but I'm going to do it because I'm feeling compassion for you. Which is very interesting. Very interesting statement. Yes. So, normally though, by the mercy of the Lord, one comes in contact with devotees who have bhakti, and then through that contact, one also gets bhakti. That's the basic idea. So I think we'll finish here. Srila Prabhupada ki.